now, your hosts for Life from the Pulpits. Here's Nick Perez.
Yes, and how's it? Greetings and welcome to the fastest half-hour podcast in the West. I am your humble correspondent, Nick Perez, offering up news and views you can use on Scripture and society with a little help from my friends deep in the heart of the Central Valley, deep in the heart of Merced, California, coming to you live now from my new digs at the Merced Church of Christ. It is a rainy one out today, folks, at least here in the valley, so be safe if you have to take the 99. Greetings and welcome. Glad that you tuned in. I want to get to something, and I know you're going to be out there going, how in the world is this guy going to connect what he's talking about with Christianity? There's a couple ways to do it. I'm going to see if I can't touch a couple different things during the course of the episode. Performance-enhancing drugs, PED for short. A new USADA report, that's the United States, let me see if I can find, I want to make sure I get this right, anti-doping agency, United States Anti-Doping Agency, USADA, they published a 202-page report on Lance Armstrong, 7-time Tour de France winner, poster boy for the indomitable spirit, indomitable American spirit for that. He won the Tour de France more than anybody else. And you probably, Lance Armstrong, you may have a yellow bracelet, Live Strong bracelet. That's his organization, which is devoted to trying to find cures and treatments for cancer and that sort of thing. But they ripped the sheen right off of Lance Armstrong's once untarnished name and actually exposed him as the greatest fraud in American sports history. This guy, there have always been allegations against him concerning doping and using performance-enhancing drugs, steroids, different treatments in order to make sure that you're performing at your optimum level, even giving you an unfair advantage. But he's always denied. Nothing's ever stuck. And hey, America, right? We're supposed to be the land where you are innocent until proven guilty. And I wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt. But this report is, it's the crushing blow, as it were, for the embattled Lance Armstrong. Again, there've always been rumors, but nothing has really stuck. Well, it seems that his entire U.S. Postal team, they were sponsored by the United States Postal Service, Hamilton, Andrew, George Hincapie, Floyd Landis, Jonathan Vaughters, they all are saying the same thing, that he used a drug called EPO, he used testosterone, human growth hormone, cortisone, blood transfusions. He had the top doctor working on him in order to try and make sure that he competed at his optimum level, but also with a significant edge in regards to using performance-enhancing drugs. Well, let's see. This report came out from USADA. It's been a couple weeks, October 10th. Well, this report came out today. This news story here. The title of the article, Lance Armstrong Stripped of His 7 Tour de France Titles. It turns out that UCI, that's the world governing body for cycling, they have come to the defense of Lance Armstrong again and again because he said, you know, I don't use, and they have defended him. Well, let's just say the uphill climb was too steep for even UCI to overcome in this case, and they finally did strip him of his 7 Tour de France titles. He has a lifetime ban from competitive cycling. And, you know, this writer here says it's probably time for Lance to just come clean and just, you know, give a tell-all book and, you know, sell a million copies or whatever. People will always buy this. They're always in, the whole world loves a story, right? And so that seems to be what's his only move is now, is just to come clean. I haven't seen any reports that says he has or he will or is going to hold a news conference, anything like that. But, yeah, that's in order to tilt public sympathy sort of back in his favor to a degree. Just come clean. That's what this writer says. He also does somewhat of an editorial here. Cycling is lost, consumed by its own failure to effectively combat a culture of doping that grew out of all proportion and ensured that finding and affording the right corrupt doctor and not athletic ability was the most important attribute for a Tour de France competitor. If you've got the right doctor working on you, you're going to win. That's sort of what this writer comes away with. I find it interesting. All these guys admit, yeah, they doped. They were on steroids. They used performance-enhancing drugs. And they're turning Lance Armstrong in, a fellow doper, because he won. And so the house of cards that they built has just sort of collapsed on him. And hey, if we're going down, everyone else is going down with us, and that includes their boy Lance Armstrong. And it's ironic, I guess. Dopers, you know, tattling on another doper because he won. But and I get, you know, I get the arguments. There's part of me that says, look, if these guys want to wreck and ruin their body by using these performance-enhancing drugs, fine. You better stack up the millions, because when your kidneys start to fail and you need dialysis and your body starts to fail later on in age, you better have the money, because I'm not coming to your aid. Or at least I don't want to. I don't want to pay because you paid to ruin your body. Why? So you could win a game? There's part of me that says, hey, if they want to use performance-enhancing drugs, go ahead. I want to see a guy break the 3,000-yard mark in NFL. I want to see these guys bash 600-foot home runs. Isn't that what the public wants? We as the media, as spectators, we want to see them just crush the life out of a baseball, rip the stuffing out of it, just like in the Sandlot. That's what we want, isn't it? Maybe to a degree. But then there is the other side of the argument, the purist argument. Hey, what about the purity of the game? You know, it's tainted now because you have all these athletes. I looked up a couple of lists here. 10 most famous athletes. This is actually a baseball list, apparently. David Ortiz, Barry Bonds, Jason Giambi, Andy Pettit, Miguel Tejada, Eric Gagne, A-Rod. I don't see Mark McGwire on this list, incredibly. But, I mean, you can go, there's a Wikipedia page that has a list of name after name after name of people who used various substances. Now, this list includes not only anabolic steroids and human growth hormone and testosterone, all these different kinds of steroids, but also if they used amphetamines, cocaine, cannabis, other substances of that nature. But you just go down this list. I mean, it's extensive. How many guys are on this list when it comes to doping and it comes to these performance-enhancing drugs? And so that's the news today, is Lance Armstrong, he's stripped of his 7 Tour de France titles. But here's the thing, just because he had the right doctor, everybody else is doping. Everyone else in cycling, it's the dirtiest sport out there. And these guys are tattling on Lance Armstrong because they lost. Because they didn't figure out the right combination. Lance Armstrong figured out the system and he worked it. And these guys get upset about it when they themselves are cheating. We want a level playing field. Playing field's essentially level. They're all using the same stuff. It's just who's going to figure out who's going to work the system the best. So what is Nick, what are you telling us this for? What does this have to do with anything? I'll get to that in just a moment. But first, this half hour brought to you by the Merced Church of Christ. This is essentially the only true sponsor of this program. All the other ones are fake. This one's a real one. You see, Merced Church of Christ is a church. They're a group of people that are devoted to the work of God, the Word of God, and the worship of God. That's what you're going to find here when you show up. Located here on Yosemite Parkway, 2050 Yosemite Parkway in Merced, California. Our service times are Bible class at 9:30 on Sunday morning, worship at 10:30, and also again at 6 o'clock on Sunday evening. Our midweek service is on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. So come on by, stop by, and worship your Lord with us. Merced Church of Christ, a great place to call home. Okay, so again, what does this have to do with anything? Nick, why are you telling us all this stuff? Performance-enhancing drugs. Well, for one, performance-enhancing drugs are bad. Yes, it is cheating. Christians, listen, if you are an athlete and you are a Christian, you should not cheat. That's just wrong. It's lying. It's falsehood. And so that's one aspect to this that we could touch on here in regards to doping and in regards to performance-enhancing drugs. You should not use them as a Christian. And really, you could expand this. Hold the phone, ladies and gentlemen. We do have, for the first time ever, a telephone call here on the Life from the Pulpit program. Yes, you are live on the Life from the Pulpit program.
Hey, Nick, how you doing, man? It's good to be back on the show.
It's my friend David Creek calling into the program. David, how are you doing?
Man, I'm doing great.
For those of you who don't know, David is live on location in Florida. That's where he now lives, is in Florida, working for a food distribution company or some sort. Is that right, David?
That is correct, yeah.
How's that going?
You know, currently showing it so far. I'm doing a lot of things over there. I'm driving a truck, and I'm also in a warehouse. I'm also having studies with, in the morning time and stuff like that, but and then I'm around the area too. I'm up in a couple different places, as Dylan, but I've really been enjoying it so far.
Good to hear that you're thriving there. Hey, David, we are talking today about performance enhancing drugs and their use in sport. I'm starting to make some connections here to the Christian walk. Maybe before I get to that, though, you could talk about give me some names of those who've used performance enhancing drugs that you're aware of, especially in the NBA, because I know you have an extensive knowledge of in the NBA.
Well, I would say that the use of performance enhancing drugs in the NBA is, that's rather rare because it doesn't really equate in terms of really having an advantage in the way that it does in other sports like baseball and weightlifting. But there have been a couple of guys, Rashard Lewis, for example. He is currently with the Heat, but he was playing for the Magic about, I want to say, 3 or 4 years ago, and he tested positive for it was some type of it was a performance enhancing drug. The only other one I know of, I think Lindsey Hunter also, this is going back about at least 5 or 6 years, he also had a similar situation where he had tested positive, but know, I would say that the main one is in baseball, and it's, you know, it's been unbelievable. You know, all the guys who have either been accused or who have been found guilty of it. You know, I remember, you know, I was a big fan of the 2000, I think it was either 2003, 2004, you know, the Red Sox who won the World Series. And a lot of those guys, you know, Ortiz and Manny Ramirez, you know, a lot of guys on that team, and it's just a positive, and it just really, you know, especially with Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa, you know, they create, you know, home run summer of 1998, which really, you know, if you recall, I mean, it saved baseball after that strike in 94. And so, you know, this, you know, huge, you know, cloud of, you know, these performance-enhanced drugs really is unfortunate, you know, if you think about it.
Yeah, no kidding. I have a list here in front of me of just several individuals who've engaged in doping, performance-enhancing drug use, and that sort of thing. One name that I did find for basketball, O.J. Mayo.
Really?
O.J. Mayo used, and I can't even pronounce this, but it's some kind of performance-enhancing drug, but... Man, just you're right. I mean, baseball. I shared a list here just a moment ago. Just all these famous baseball names: Lenny Dykstra, Mark McGwire wasn't on that list, but he is on this list that I had. Another list that I found. Manny Ramirez. That guy is cold blooded. He doesn't. He's never really shown any kind of remorse for his use. Here was one of the connections that I make them all. I got you on the phone. You can comment on it if you want. But number one, not only is performance enhancing drugs, it's bad. It's cheating. Christians shouldn't cheat if you're involved in sports. That obviously. The other connection I was going to make was, can you imagine if there were some kind of drug that a preacher could use to enhance his performance? How many pastors across the country, how many preachers, you know, and just, it's interesting, you watch sort of the evolution of the athlete who uses performance-enhancing drugs. It's obvious, right? I mean, it's obvious they're taking, there was a 30 for 30 film that chronicled the race in, what was it, 1988 at the Olympics, where Carl Lewis was beat by the Canadian runner, and he ran a 9.79. He was on steroids, and they found out, and that was what the whole program was about. But everyone said you could tell this guy was on. I mean, he was an average runner who all of a sudden went to this elite speed. Can you imagine all the pulpits across America? All these you know, mediocre, you know, boring, put you to sleep kind of preachers that all of a sudden now, you know, they're just this animated, lively guy because they're on performance-enhancing drugs. I just thought that was, to me, that whole notion is bizarre. And then I thought, but isn't there a performance enhancer in the pulpit already with us? That there's no drug, even if they could make some kind of synthetic garbage that someone could ingest. There is a performance enhancer in the pulpit by the name of the Holy Spirit every Sunday who takes the ordinary and average man and takes their feeble efforts to try and communicate. And I'll throw my hat in that ring. My efforts are just as feeble as anyone else's, but to take the feeble efforts that we put forward and he's able to take that and use it to work a mighty work in the congregation and to do a mighty work among his people. That's one thought that I thought of, was there's this performance enhancer with us this whole time in the pulpit. It's just a matter of whether or not we're going to submit ourselves and just be the humble vessel, the humble clay jar with the valuable treasure within us. Your boy Kevin Bethea talked about that before too, if I remember right. But he did that at the Sunset Workshop one time. But that's one thought that I had, Dave. You have any comment on that?
Well, you know, I think that is because really what you have with, you know, steroids and with Andrew is that oftentimes what we see is that it takes, you know, a D player or a C-minus player, and it makes him an A player. You know, I think immediately of Luis Gonzalez. He used to play for the Dynamax 3. I met him one time, and he couldn't have been, you know, any nicer. And, you know, he'll always be one of my favorite players, but it's very interesting, though, because usually what, you know, the average Luis Gonzalez season was, you know, normally at his best, I mean, you know, he would give you about 20, 25 home runs, but in either 2001 or 2002, all of a sudden he has 57, so he goes from, like, you know, 25 home runs to 57, and then, you know, he never, you know, even approached, you know, 30, you know, again after that. And, you know, he's another one who's been accused of, you know, abusing this stuff, and if that is true, then, you know, it's really yet another example of a, you know, C player or, you know, even a B player, you know, quickly, you know, transforming into an A-plus player. I think that is very analogous to really what we have been discussing. And, you know, I thought of something else, too, about how when a lot of these guys have been either accused of using this stuff or even, you know, I mean, these test results have come back in, how they deny it, you know, I think that is also comparable to a lot of times when a person, you know, either us or you know, anybody else, you know, throughout their, you know, lives, have been accused of something that they did, or you know, a brother or a sister has, you know, kept on really, you know, to that person in the hopes of restoring them. And you know, that they were completely in denial about that. You know, I think about, you know, Roger Clemens, you know, kind of denied it all along. Mark McGwire strongly said that, you know, he never used it at first. I think about Rafael Palmeiro, you know, in the way that he whacked his finger at Congress, and he said, I never used those drugs. And like a week later, he admitted, all right, I took those drugs, even though everybody knew, you know, at the time, he was endorsing a certain pill on television, so of course we all knew that, you know, he was already using performance-enhancing drugs. But, you know, it's a very interesting, it's a very interesting dynamic, you know, to say the very least.
Yeah, no kid. I got to wind up the show here, David. I appreciate the phone call. We'll talk with you later. Thanks for calling in.
All right. Great to be back on. Thank you.
All right. Take care. My boy, David Creek, calling in. That's does my heart good. Man, that guy's got a lot of sports knowledge. That's incredible. Especially the NBA. I can give him a name, and you can give him a name for that matter. From the NBA, and he'll give you vital statistics on it. Just phenomenal. But again, just to get back to a serious note, and you know, this notion of the true performance enhancer in the pulpit with the preacher on, that's something that I think every Christian needs to understand. Is the guy standing in the pulpit, he's just a guy, just another fallible human being. Despite what some of these preachers might think about themselves as though they're God's gift to whatever, in one regards, you know, that may be true, in that God, he gives gifts to his body, to his church. To somehow think that makes you walk on water, I'm an imperfect person, and I'm by no means any special guy. In terms of, you know, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. And so, you know, this notion that that somehow just because I'm the preacher and you've got to look upon me as, you know, I call it the preacher aura. You know, you know who you are. You're the preacher. And so you walk around and you carry yourself in a certain kind of way, which is, it just seems abnormal. And it comes across as fake? And that's not the way it's intended to be. The guy standing up in the pulpit, and again, that's me. I'm just another guy trying my dead level best to follow Jesus with my brothers and sisters. I'm just a guy trying desperately to communicate truth in a way that is understandable and is relatable and is something you can take home with you. And so those meager, feeble efforts are taken by the Holy Spirit of God as He, well, let's borrow the language of Genesis 1, He broods over that assembly. He broods over it, and He takes the words from my mouth to your ear so that this dynamic happens, so that there's transformation involved. Not just merely the transmission of information, but actual transformation takes place in life. Only God, the Holy Spirit, can do that. As great a speaker as people might think I am, as eloquent and with great elocution I might speak, no. It's not about that. It's all about Christ. It's all about the Holy Spirit working in and through the people of God in order to bring about change. He's the only true performance enhancer in the whole thing. And oh, by the way, the preacher doesn't have a monopoly on that performance enhancer. Let me share with you one verse that I believe is appropriate to this. It's a passage, I think I brought it up multiple times already, but it captures so perfectly what I'm talking about here. Paul praying for a group of Christians. Ephesians chapter 3, the prayer begins in verse 14, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father." But verse 16 is what I'm after. "That according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power." What are these athletes after when they inject themselves or ingest these performance-enhancing drugs? They want strength. They want that power so that they can perform at just the right time. That's exactly what the Holy Spirit does for the Christian. And guess what? Unlike performance-enhancing drugs and all these other things, He's legal. In fact, God has given Him to the Christian community so that we might be able to live as God has called us. "That He might grant you to be strengthened with power." How? "Through His Spirit." Where? In your inner being. Or in the inner man. That's where He's at. And so that's the dynamic that is taking place in the community, the church, when we get together for fellowship and for mutual edification. Sing songs of praise to God, to offer up prayers and petitions, and to hear the word preached. That's all part of it. And we all have access to the one Spirit who presides in the church. The purpose, verse 17, "so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." That's the purpose for this thing, for why the Holy Spirit enhances our performance, as it were. And that's the other thing, man, Romans 8, we don't even know what we should pray for, but the Holy Spirit takes our meager requests, takes them to the Father, and in words unutterable, in groanings and moanings unutterable, He communicates them to the Father. Talk about He's the true and only performance enhancer. When it comes to our prayer life and in to the preaching and to our worship, whatever it might be, that's where it's at. We don't have to be worried about being stripped of any titles or anything like when we use this performance enhancer He's been given to us. I'm out of time. Feel free to stop by the Life from the Pulpit blog, lifefromthepulpit.wordpress.com, lifefromthepulpit.wordpress.com. Been walking through the first epistle of John. It's all there, all free, all for you to use and peruse in your daily Bible study. And also, feel free to leave a comment on the website, the Life from the Pulpit podcast website. Always like to hear what you have to say. If you post a comment, I will read it on air. Make sure you get your airtime. Be sure and stop by both of those websites. And as always, brethren, grace be with you all. Thanks for listening.